Hello and welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychologies Magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychologies. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to a UKCP therapist about a range of topics. In this episode, we will be discussing family conflict and how therapy can provide a place for resolution.
It's concentrating on the process rather than the content. So it isn't necessarily so that we need to hear, in a family situation, we need to hear all the problems. What we need to focus on is how are they communicating and how can we help them to communicate in a more healthy way.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Sean Tomlinson. Sean has worked at Mind in Mid-Hertz for over 10 years. Now the CEO, she is passionate about raising awareness and reducing the stigma around mental health. Shortly, Sean will be talking to Sarah Niblock, CEO of the UK Council for Psychotherapy, to find out what can cause families to clash. But first, here are some comments about family conflict from people we spoke to on the street.
I think that family is the people that you're most comfortable disagreeing with and having an argument with. I mean, most strangers, you'd just be polite. You might hold some things in, but with family, most of the time, you're comfortable saying what you really think.
And when the different components of the family do not put themselves on the place of others, then there is a tension, there is a bridge that needs to be closed.
Since family's always been a very big part of your life, you're very centered around it. So a person might become very depressed if they're having very serious conflicts within the family. And that could lead to a lot of psychological trauma.
Sometimes within the family, they do not have the skills or resources to solve certain situations. So in those cases, I think they should look for external advice or help. And that's where professionals can play a big role.
It is estimated that 11% of all children and 28% of children in workless households have parents in a distressed relationship. The causes of disputes are varied, but it is important to remember the psychological and emotional impact conflict can have. So, how can families go about seeking help to resolve issues at home?
What can cause conflict in a family?
So that is really a wide question, and I could probably talk for the full podcast about all the different reasons. But I think at the moment, I think what we're seeing is obviously financial issues, you know, people with mental health. I work in a mental health environment where people may be caring for a loved one with mental health issues. They may not fully understand why that person has got mental health issues. That could cause frustrations and conflict. I think there are a lot of housing issues where I come from in Hertfordshire. And I think, you know, when people constantly having to move, all those stresses and strains, and obviously relationships break down and conflict occurs. And I think whenever there's children around, it'd be really helpful that we can work with those parents to ensure that they have the most healthy breakup. So in my work, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm there to keep people together. It's actually resolving conflict is a really good heading for us, because then they can go on together as parents.
And what tends to be the tipping point that confirms to a family or a family member that they should explore therapy?
They just can't communicate. So the tipping point is that the only communication they have is shouting or, you know, or crosswords. And so that can be the point where they will ask for help. Obviously, from my point of view, working with couples and families, frequently there's, you know, breakdowns in relationships when there's extramarital affairs, and that sort of thing can be a tipping point. I think if a child's sick, that can be the final straw, you know, with a couple that are struggling. And a new baby, that can be a tipping point, you know, because then everybody's under strain. You know, jobs aren't as secure as they used to be. Homes aren't as secure as they used to be. So there's a lot of stresses in daily life. And then something like having a baby or a bereavement can be the tipping point.
How can psychotherapy help families to reconnect?
So, I mean, I think really to help them communicate. And I think, you know, that it's concentrating on the process rather than the content. So it isn't necessarily so that we need to hear, in a family situation, we need to hear all the problems. What we need to focus on is how are they communicating and how can we help them to communicate in a more healthy way.
That's interesting. So it's not necessarily content of what brought them in. It's actually how the mechanisms by which they resolve that. How fascinating.
Because as a therapist, a family therapist, you may only see that family for an hour. There's a whole week, or even sometimes we see families fortnightly. You know, they need to work on this stuff outside of the therapy. So we need to focus on how they can work on that. Then they can come back and we can do a bit more and really help them to embed those new ways of working together.
Sort of new communication, hygiene or techniques or whatever.
Absolutely.
So tell me what happens in a typical session, if there is such a thing as a typical session.
So I think it's something a bit special about a systemic family therapy way of working that I think your listeners may be interested in, which is that we actually work in a team. So I have a colleague who works with me. So I will be seeing the family, or she will be seeing the family, and the other one will sit in the corner and reflect. Mm. So frequently families to begin with think this sounds a bit strange, but the wonderful thing about that is you can imagine if you're seeing a family with lots of dynamics going on, and as a therapist you may focus on one aspect of what the family are bringing. So to have a team member with you that might say, well, that's funny, I wonder why they didn't pick on, you know, that child said such and such, or the wife said such and such, so I wonder why Sharon didn't pick up on that. And that way, it just really is two heads are better than one. So from a systemic family therapy point of view, we frequently work in teams. Not all systemic family therapy therapy is like that, but I'm very, very lucky. I'm very fortunate that I've got a colleague that wants to work with me, and we've been working together for 10 years. So we are quite a team now.
Gosh, that sounds so fascinating. Do family therapists only work with families, or do you work with other client groups?
Yeah, we're really happy to work with individuals. I mean, frequently people will have relationship problems. And so we'll do something quite like a Gestalt therapist would, in terms of, so if your mum was here, what would she say? Mm-hmm. Or what would which comes from a different kind of model, but systemic therapy tends to kind of steal whatever is really useful.
Yes, so you haven't got a fixed way of doing things. We'll
bring
integrate.
In different ideas and really enhance the kind of what we do.
And tailor it around the needs of the client.
Absolutely,
Fascinating. What can you do if somebody just doesn't want to join in with the family therapy?
So the other thing that we're getting a lot of is a young person who won't come. And that young person is not a child, it's an adult, but they are isolating themselves in a bedroom with, you know, social media or computer games and not coming out, and the parents don't know what to do. And so what we focus on really there is helping them to be resilient and how they are coping, because without that young person there, we can't change the young person. The only thing we can work with here is you, your perspective and how you feel about it. And so that's how we would approach that, and then just do whatever we can that would be helpful to that couple to help them to cope with, and just hope that that young person also might pick up that actually if that's helping mum and dad, maybe it would help me.
Yeah.
So really helping the parents to role model something.
For somebody from a family who's listening to this and thinking, you know, I can identify with some of these things, how can they start to resolve conflict?
I think the most important thing is to reach out and not feel like they're failing and not feel like it's hopeless, and get some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may not be family therapy. It may be going to individual therapy themselves that might help them to change their perspective on things. You know, when you've got a lot of stress in your life, it's really hard to think clearly. Mm-hmm. And so therapy could be just helpful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Without needing the other person to engage, just give you an opportunity to talk through what's going on for you and what maybe have happened in the past that's impacting on that relationship now, that maybe through talking through it you can go, oh yeah, you know, just a light bulb minute. We call it the ooh-ah moment. You know, just the light bulb moment. Oh yeah, I am treating them a bit like that. Maybe I could act a bit differently, and maybe then they would act a bit differently. Mm. You know, so I think that would be my advice. Yes. If you're really trapped in a pattern of conflict, I think you probably, the best bet would be to get some help. And a mediation also might be the way forward.
Right, okay. Tell me a little bit about mediation.
So particularly with families, you can often get a couple with who are, you know, at loggerheads, but actually they can agree on, and that's what you need in mediation, you need something to be agreeable on, that they want the best for the children.
Yes.
And so mediation can start from that.
And that can be the first step, perhaps, into family therapy.
Absolutely.
Now, you are the Chief Executive of Mind in Mid-Hearts. What kinds of services are available at Mind and, you know, in the third sector that might be a step for someone to take who's listening to this?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all to say is that Mind's an affiliated network. Mm-hmm. So there's 130 local Minds across England and Wales, and they're all different. Mm-hmm. So your listeners may not be in Hertfordshire, and so the services that we might run may not be run where they live. Mm-hmm. So I need to kind of make that point. National Mind, we're affiliated to them, but we're a local organisation with local demands, and we try and meet the needs of the people who come and see us. But that is dependent on us finding funding for that.
Yeah.
So every local mind's different. But in our service in Hertfordshire, you know, predominantly we have social groups where people can meet other people who are maybe also having experiences of mental health issues. We run carers groups for people with caring for a loved one with a mental health issue. But lots of things around arts, crafts, music, drama, creative writing, really ways that people can perhaps heal who've had a mental health issue, or also just reduce social isolation, because with stigma around on mental health, a lot of people can become quite isolated. So creating a space where they can do something together that's meaningful for them, perhaps build their self-esteem and their confidence, that can be really, really helpful. The counselling obviously really meets a need, because I mean, we've always got a waiting list. Our counselling service is low cost, people can pay what they can afford. And that's not really available very much anymore.
No.
And if it is available, it's short, it's six sessions. Whereas we would describe our service as a brief therapy service, where what we would say is it's not open-ended, you can't come forever, but we want to meet the needs of that individual or couple or family. So whatever they come with, what we're going to work with is how can they achieve that? And what kind of talking therapy will help them to do that?
Yeah.
And then we have a variety. So we, as I say, we see individuals, and we have a variety of different models of therapy that we offer.
You've obviously highlighted the fact that family conflict is something that is very, very commonplace, that there are many tipping points that bring families into therapy. But what I thought was particularly fascinating was that point about the fact that you teaching people a new way to communicate, you're helping them with skills that don't just deal with the specific problem that they might have come in with that's got them very, you know, exacerbated and distressed. What you're providing are skills that they can use in family life forever.
Absolutely, yeah.
It will help them with the next challenge, the next challenge. And I think what I hear that's very reassuring about what you've described is the fact that these are skills that can then be passed on through generations, potentially.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
And the children teach us so much. I mean, if we can get the children in the room, I mean, they'll cut through all kinds of things and be able to put their finger on the button. And actually, and it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to really hear the children.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Sian Tomlinson speaking to Sarah Niblock, the CEO of UKCP. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is www.psychotherapy.org.uk, and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We'll also be discussing family conflict in the Psychology's magazine this month, or you can find us online at www.psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP psychotherapists. So remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it first, and it helps others to find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you so much for listening and take good care of yourselves. Thank you.